In this devotional, we will look at the remaining three graces of the fruit of the Spirit, as outlined in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Now, you might remember that the first three aspects, love, joy, and peace, direct our attention towards God, while the following three direct our attention towards our neighbor. These last three are directed more towards us, the individual disciples, as things that we need to develop within our hearts and then put into practice. So number 7 in the list is faithfulness. Now, it's written as just faith in the King James Version. And in Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus told his disciples to have faith in God. It's a word that means loyal in affection or constant and reliable and trusted or believed. In fact, Vine's Dictionary states that it is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. But look how the Bible describes it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That same chapter in Hebrews also lists many wonderful examples of faithfulness down in verses 7 through 40. But in the verse just before that passage, in verse 6, it says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So how important is faith? Well, the truth is, every child of God must be faithful to Him. That says that in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. So be faithful, not because the preacher says so, or anyone else for that matter, but instead because of your love for the Lord. And you can start to develop faithfulness in your spiritual walk by praying about it. See, there we go again. But just ask God to help you increase your faith, just as the disciples did in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And since the Bible also says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10, 17, then you should study and learn God's Word daily in order to increase your faith. That's the purpose of the New Testament, according to what John says in John 20, verses 30 through 31. Now, number 8 in the list is gentleness. The King James and the American Standard Version render this as meekness. But don't confuse this word with how some Bible versions use the word gentleness in verses 22 for kindness. You see, many times this word is correctly translated as meekness. We might also describe it as submissiveness or peacefulness or tenderness. It's a trait of someone who has a softness in their manners or a mild temper or a quiet nature. Thayer's Dictionary says that gentleness is a mildness of disposition or a gentleness of spirit. You see, it's something that is exercised outward because it's a condition of one's heart. Read Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and then also consider what James 3, verse 13 says. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Do you see how a meek person is described in those verses? Now, the assumption is that the world makes is that a gentle or a meek person is defenseless or weak. However, meekness is not weakness. It is a fruit of having power. For example, Moses is described as very meek in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Yet no one would consider him weak. The Lord also was gentle, but he certainly was not weak, as he had infinite and powerful divine resources available to him, according to Matthew 11, verse 29. So, meekness equates to restraint. In fact, it is often described as power under control. In other words, a meek Christian who may wield great power does not throw their weight around. Now, a great way to start developing meekness in your spiritual walk is, of course, by praying about it, but also reading your Bible and studying the examples of meekness. Samson, for example, had a lack thereof, yet Elijah and David and Jesus and several others that we can name here were all great examples of meekness. All right, so number 9, And the last trait mentioned in this list of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, the King James uses the word temperance. Now, this final grace is also something that is exercised inwardly. It is, as one writer puts it, the virtue of one who masters his own desires and passions, and especially his sensual appetites. Self-control involves restraining our actions, our temper, and our tongue, those outbursts of ill feelings, and even our desire for money and power. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, you might notice that those things, along with several others, are called works of the flesh. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, we have an example where Paul reasoned with a Roman governor by the name of Felix about those very things. They can keep us from having access to eternal life and entering heaven. Yet, we have the power within us to refuse to participate in worldly affairs. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Abstain from every form of evil." It is simply an attitude of submitting to the will of God, which is the opposite of how lost and worldly people live their lives. A child of God is commanded to render his life as a living sacrifice, as is written in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and that certainly requires self-control. Developing self-control in your spiritual life, once again, begins with prayer. Each trait requires prayer first because each is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a product of our own willpower. So we start by submitting to God in prayer. And then, of course, this should be followed by reading your Bible, and then that will help you to combat temptation with self-control, just like Jesus did when he quoted, "It is written," in Luke chapter 4, verses 4 through 12. And that first requires knowing the Word of God. Furthermore, you can develop the trait of self-control by avoiding temptation triggers and not putting yourself in situations that might lead to something sinful. You see, self-control means purposing to do right. So now we've covered all 9 traits of the fruit of the Spirit. But we still aren't finished with that first principle of a Christian's responsibility. Tomorrow, we'll talk about a few more things that you need to add to your new spiritual walk.